from the basement, where I'll be watching you, making your life a living hell. It's Daily Comedy News, Saturdays in January. I'm taking a look at Late Night with David Letterman, which debuted February 1st, 1982. It's the 40th anniversary of one of my favorite things ever. Vulture writes, Chris Elliott was an important part of David Letterman's late night ever since it began. While working as an NBC page, Chris Elliott met and impressed David Letterman, who hired him onto the show as part of the original writing staff. Elliott soon became a beloved part of the show, often playing himself or a bunch of recurring characters like the guy under the seats, Marv Albert, talk show host Chris Elliott Jr., and Marlon Brando. Chris Elliott is the son of popular radio and stage star Bob Elliott. Growing up, Chris Elliott was often in the wings during Bob and Ray's performances and let their comedy wash over him in waves. The LA Times says, forsaking college after high school, Chris Elliott took a job as an NBC tour guide at Rockefeller Center with the dream of becoming a Saturday Night Live writer. One day, he recognized the then-unemployed David Letterman, who had just lost his NBC morning show. Letterman was taking the tour with his mother. Chris Elliott said, I felt sorry for him, so I charged him the kiddie fare. Chris Elliott was hired for late night as a runner for $200 a week. Chris said, I remember I impressed Dave the first week. He had tried on his morning show to get 100% cotton t-shirts, and for some reason the runner on the morning show couldn't find him 100% cotton. They kept bringing him blends. Dave was very disappointed. I made one call and worked out a deal to get all cotton shirts. And from then on, every time I'd run into him in the hall, he'd say, there's my buddy. There's the guy who got my shirts. During the first week of Late Night, Chris Elliott was asked to model some urban protective gear, which was actually a head-to-toe garbage suit covering his face. But because of a bad network feed, most of the East Coast didn't see Elliott. So Letterman brought him out the next night, this time with his face showing. Chris remembers, Dave asked what the audience the night before thought of my performance, and I told them they said it was the funniest thing they'd seen in North America. That got a laugh, and Dave laughed, and I was on my way. Elliott's deadpan delivery led to more walk-on parts, ultimately to regular characters such as the guy under the seats, who made his home beneath the late-night bleachers and occasionally popped his head up through the trap door. Chris said, at that point, I had to start considering myself a performer and get an agent. There was pressure because the audience began to expect funny things from me. I look back at those old days of trying to impress Dave as more fun. It was kind of neat to hear people say, oh, that was really funny, and then go back up and type a music clearance sheet or something menial. I had no idea Chris Elliott was doing all that other stuff. The Washington Post tells a story from 1987. A late-night viewer wrote in to complain about fuzzy reception and asked if it was a conspiracy. Chris Elliott and some of the other writers were certain that it was, so Chris Elliott wandered onto the show, muttering about a conspiracy. Two of the other writers came out in big black gloves to drag him off stage. The conspiracy guy was born. Soon that begat the panicky guy, who jumped up and started screaming whenever Letterman said anything vaguely scary. The guy under the seats, who popped up with benign requests and then turned violent, threatening to make Letterman's life a living hell. And two TV series stars, the fugitive guy, who claimed to have won a special effects Emmy for best hair, and the heavily promoted but never seen the regulator guy, Chris Elliott said, to me it was all one joke. The initial idea was just making fun of running characters because I was doing nothing, but we were goofing the audience to go crazy every time I did it. One of the writers said the audience learned to laugh like lab rats. They laugh without quite knowing why, but a lot of times we didn't know why the stuff was funny either. After the appearance of each guy, Chris Elliott plopped down in the guest seat and became the Chris Elliott character, an arrogant performer armed with clips from his latest work. It was just sort of funny. I was coming out and obviously just desperately trying to get on television doing nothing. And now what's weird is I've actually become this running character on the show. The website Eddie on Film writes, Late Night would not have been the same without Chris Elliott. The key to the success of Late Night with David Letterman wasn't just Letterman, but the crack writing staff he assembled that shared his bent sense of humor. One of those writers proved to be a breakout star of his own. His name was Chris Elliott. He was 31 years old when Late Night debuted, and as far as Late Night fans were concerned, Elliott was quite literally the guy, the panicky guy, the conspiracy guy, the guy under the seats, the laid-back guy, the fugitive guy, and the regular guy. The joke about the regulator guy, and the regulator guy was a Terminator-like spoof that was supposed to be Chris Elliott's new series. The joke was that it never aired. Every time Chris showed up to show a clip or premiere an episode, something would interrupt or preempt it. But I think the peak there was the fugitive guy. Here's a recap of the fugitive guy episode that debuted June 19th, 1985. Dave introduces Roger Campbell, played by Chris Elliott, and the fugitive guy. The episode is Music Sues the Savage Killer. Episode 2, a week later, Cue for Murder. July 10th, no title for episode 3. Roger Campbell is the new guy on Dave's maintenance crew. Number four, Lights, Camera, Murder. Roger Campbell plays the new cameraman on Late Night with David Letterman. It was the same thing over and over. Letterman would start talking to Roger Campbell, who would just like give quick answers to like get out of the spotlight, and Dave would keep asking him questions, and then it would turn into an episode of The Fugitive. August 20th of 1985, Hold Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me. September 17th, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Murder. Roger Campbell played a makeup man. October 2nd, Jack Be Nimble, Jack Be Dead. October 17th, The Fugitive Guy Under the Seats. A Pinch of Salt, A Dash of Death. Roger Campbell is drunk in that one. November 7th, title to be determined, Roger Campbell plays a pantomime mumminchance. And the final Fugitive Guy, November 21st, 1985. Boy, that bit only ran 5 months. I feel like they did that for years. Murder Go Round. Chris Elliott invites Dave to a beach amusement park, tangles with a ranger. Chris spots the one-armed man, both chase after him. The one-armed man slips onto the beach and disappears. On January 9, 1986, a fan asked in viewer mail why The Fugitive Guy had been canceled. Dave explained that the answer could be found in a videotape of a party around Christmas where Grant Tinker, the name of the actual boss at NBC, this the character Grant Tinker, complimented Chris Elliott on the show. Chris proceeded to bludgeon Grant to death. Dave suggested that might not have been a good idea. April 30th, 1987, Chris promoted The Return of the Fugitive Guy, but nothing ever came of it. Late Night with David Letterman turns 40 on February 1st. That's your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows, and I'll be watching you, making your life a living hell.